singing bunch tonight. Bunch your heart? Maybe you left it in the truck. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. I expect you guys probably could know that. There's a couple things you can probably count on, and that is the Wednesday before Christmas, we're probably going to do Linus and Charlie Brown, and the Wednesday before Easter, we're probably going to do Jesus Washes the Disciples' Feet. This event would have actually happened on a Thursday, is when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And I guess really, this message will be quite similar to the one we had last Wednesday night. Just coincidentally, last Wednesday night, we were in Psalm 100, and we really focused on the idea of serving the Lord. We talked about the verse that said, serve the Lord with gladness. We even sung the hymn that we are familiar with, serve the Lord with gladness. And that's really the point of this passage tonight, is following Jesus' example of service. I won't really say much. There's not much I don't think I can add to this passage. It's pretty self-explanatory, and it's quite beautiful. And a beautiful example for us to reflect on, even if we look at it every year and usually multiple times a year, because I think this is just a powerful passage. So we'll pray, and then we'll jump in. God, we come to you. We thank you for a good day. We thank you for this beautiful weather you've given us, and we thank you for the freedom we have to be able to come and to look at these words. And I pray, dear Lord, that your Holy Spirit would help us to be focused on you in these few minutes, that we've got distractions and worries and just things of the world, dear Lord, that compete for our minds and our hearts. But I pray that in these few minutes, dear Lord, that our heart would tune into your word, that our hearts would be hearts that are willing and ready to serve, dear Lord, not just at Easter, but every day of our life, that we seek and we see opportunities and we take part in those opportunities you give us to be able to serve. So help us to see the heart of Jesus in this scripture. And God, I pray that we would learn from this and follow his example. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen.
Amen.
John chapter 13, verse 1. Before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world to the Father. He loved his own who were in the world. He loved them to the end. Now, Jesus knew exactly what was about to take place. He knew that his hour had come, that there was coming a point in his life that he would depart from this world. Jesus knew what his mission was, and each of us, while we may not know our mission maybe in the same way that Jesus did, nonetheless, God puts us here, and he desires for us to serve him and be obedient to him. And there's coming an hour when we will depart from this world. And sometimes we don't know, but many times I believe people know. They have a pretty good idea, especially as people begin to get sick. You kind of can sense, I think. I don't know. I've never been there before. But in visiting a lot of people at the end of their life, I think there's a sense and a feeling when you know that time is drawing near. And Jesus knew his time was drawing near, and he was getting ready to depart from this world, but he had done everything he had come to do from beginning to end. He had loved those that God had put in his care. He had loved the people that he had come to minister to. He had loved the people that he had come to save. And Jesus carried out his mission to the end. He did not give up. He continued to love those that God had put into his path. And that's a good thing for us to think about today. There's coming a day when we will depart from this world. We don't know when it's going to be. For some, maybe it's tomorrow. Maybe it's next week. Maybe it's next year. Maybe it's 50 years. We don't know when our time will come. But when our time comes that we realize that we are drawing near to the end and our time to depart is close, can it be said of us that we have loved to the end? That we have done God's will to the end? that those that we have encountered, that those that God has put into our path, that our children that God has given us to raise, and our grandchildren, and our parents, and all of those around us, can we be able to say at the end of our life that my time to depart is drawing near, but I have loved and served God and those around me till the very end? That's a good goal for us to shoot for. Verse 2, now by the time of supper, the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had given everything into his hands, that he had come from God, and that he was going back to God. Now this is important. Jesus knew that his time was drawing close. Jesus also knew that the devil was doing a work here in Judas. But Jesus was not going to let the work of the devil stop him. Why? He says because he had come from God and he knew he was going back to God. Jesus was not concerned about the attacks of the devil because he knew God the Father that he had come to serve was stronger than the devil. And that's important for us to remember too, because the devil is at work. He is at work with our temptations. He may be at work in the lives of those around us to just give us a hard time, to get us off track. But we have to realize that even when the tactics of the devil are working against us, that we are of God, and when this old world is over, we will return to God. So whatever we go through, we can rejoice and we can stand firm knowing the end. And the end is possible through what Jesus is about to do. And the end for us who have trusted in Jesus Christ is we, when we leave this world, when we go away, when we depart, we will go to the presence of God. Verse 4, so he got up from supper, laid aside his robe, took a towel, and tied it around himself. He poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to dry them with the towel tied around him. Jesus, knowing that his time was short, Jesus, knowing that the devil was at work, Jesus, knowing that he would soon go back to be with the Father, Jesus says, my time is short, so I must make the most of these last few hours I have, and here is what I'm going to do. And Jesus proceeded to do something that even now, as many times as I've read it or preached this passage, it is just phenomenal to me that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, got a bowl with some water, got a towel, and Jesus began to wash the nasty, dirty feet of his followers. Of all the things that Jesus could do, he didn't impart all kind of wisdom. They had seen miracles. And this last lesson right here at the end that he really wanted them to grasp was so powerful. He said, I know my time is short. What is there left for me to pour into my disciples? What can I do in these last few hours? What can I impart on them? And Jesus chooses something that we probably would never even imagine or think about. But that's the beauty of Jesus. Jesus gets the towel and he gets the water and he begins to do the job of a servant. He begins to do a job that is a nasty and a dirty job. People's feet today are relatively clean, maybe a little stinky, but relatively clean. We wear socks and we wear shoes, and our feet are pretty clean compared to those days. Now, you know what it's like even now when you wear flip-flops and sandals. Your feet are pretty dirty at the end of those days, or you walk around barefoot. And these people that were walking around in those days, they were walking around through all kind of junk. And here Jesus, at the end of the day, when everybody's feet was absolutely nasty, Jesus himself does the job of a lowly servant. Continuing on in verse 6, he came to Simon Peter, who asked him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I'm doing you don't understand now, but afterward you will know. You will never wash my feet, ever, Peter said. Jesus replied, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. One who was bathed, Jesus told him, doesn't need to wash anything except his feet, but he is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. That is why he said, you are not all clean. Now, Peter speaks up here pretty boldly, as he usually does, and obviously he takes some issue to this, recognizing who Jesus is and knowing that this is not the job for the Messiah, for the Son of God. Peter says, no, you're not going to wash my feet. But Jesus was using this illustration not just from a physical standpoint of, oh, you need to be clean, your feet stink, Peter, come on, you got to let me do it. But Jesus is making a bigger point. He's saying, look, you have to be washed. Now, throughout these few verses I've read, you see the word wash a lot, and some of your translation uses wash all the way through. But my translation in verse 10 says, one who has bathed. Now, it's important to notice that there's a distinction there, that not all of the washing that's taking place is the same. If you look in the Greek, there's different words there from where it says wash earlier in those verses and where it says bathe in my translation. And yours may still stay washed there, but it's a different word. When it's talking about washing, it's talking about a basic wash, like you wash your hands, okay? So we get ready to eat. When we go home to eat tonight, we're going to wash our hands. That's the kind of washing that's implied with the first Greek word when we talk about washing. But Jesus changes to a different Greek word here in verse 10. One who has washed, that is to say, one who has bathed is fully clean. Now you know as well as I do, there's a difference between washing our hands or washing our face and bathing. When we bathe, we are completely clean. Now once we are completely clean, at night maybe you get out of the shower, you walk back in the kitchen, you get your little ice cream before bed, and you're barefoot, and your feet may get dirty, and you may even wipe your feet off where you get in the bed because they're dirty again. But your whole self is not dirty, just a part of you is dirty. And Jesus is making an illustration here. He's saying, look, Peter, you're clean, but maybe there's a little part of you that's dirty. Even when we are clean through Jesus Christ, that's not to say that there is not some sin there that does not need to be cleaned up or washed from time to time. But once our sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ, we are bathed, so to speak. Sometimes we need those little spot washes here and there. There's a little spot here and there of sin, and we need those continual cleanings. But what Jesus says here is he says, Jesus told him, one who has bathed doesn't need to wash anything except his feet, but he is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you. So there was one there that had not bathed, so to speak. There was one there that had not been washed. Now, Judas's feet were soon to be cleaned by Jesus, but it was not going to be sufficient. It doesn't have the same meaning as what it does for the rest of the apostles, because the rest of the apostles have been bathed. That is, they have trusted Jesus Christ, and Jesus is saying, you guys have nothing to worry about because you have put your faith and your trust in me. And you don't understand these things. You don't understand necessarily everything I've said and done, but soon you're going to know what's going on, and you're going to be okay because you've been bathed. And for those of you who have been bathed, this act of washing your feet is going to prove to be a great example for you moving forward. But Jesus says, I'm washing all of your feet, but not all of you are clean. Not all of you have been bathed. There is one who has not. And that one was Judas, who the devil had already begun to work in his heart. I said I wasn't going to talk long tonight. I apologize. I lied. We're going all in tonight. I thought this was going to be brief, but it's okay. We don't have nothing but time. When Jesus had washed their feet and put on his robe, he reclined again and said to them, do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord. This is well said, for I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do this just as I have done for you. I assure you, a slave is not greater than his master, and a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. So when Jesus completes this beautiful act, Jesus says, And here is why I have done this. I have done this to be an example for you. You guys have been chosen by me to follow me. And all of you but one have followed me and have been obedient to me and have listened to me and are prepared to do the work for me. But here is this one thing that as my life will soon draw to a close and I will soon depart from this world and go to the Father, I leave you with this one important thing, and that is humility. That you always remember that you come to serve the Lord. That you remember the humility that I, the Son of God, have shown you by washing your feet. And know that you are not better than anyone else. You are not too good to do the work of the Lord. You are never too good even to do the most dirty jobs. That when God has called you to follow me and when you have chosen to serve me, you must serve me in humility. And I have shown you through this example and soon will show through this example on the cross what it means to be a servant of God and what it means to be humble. Therefore, what you have seen me do, go and do it yourself. Now, that is a powerful command to the apostles and to you and I, because that is the same heart of service that God desires for us to have today. That we never consider ourselves higher than we are. Jesus Christ is the highest that has ever walked this earth, and yet he was not too high to do the lowliest job. Jesus was the highest to ever walk on this earth, and he was not too high as to not give his life for those whom he loved. And Jesus says, here is the example of what it means to serve. And so what is our excuse? Surely we probably have made some excuses. Maybe not. Maybe we've all been perfectly obedient. And every opportunity that God has given us to serve, we have said, yes, Lord, send me. Or maybe we have not. Maybe we have come up with some excuses as to why things are too dangerous, are too painful, are too scary, are too dirty, as to why we are not to do that, as to why that job needs to fall to somebody else. When Jesus says, those jobs fall to you. Who? Those who follow Jesus Christ. What a beautiful command and what a difficult command. But Jesus never just tells us what to do. That's the sign of a good leader, by the way. They don't just tell you what to do. They show you what to do. They don't tell you what to do. They do what they're calling you to do. And that is who Jesus is. That is who Jesus was. Jesus did the work. Jesus showed us humility and service. And Jesus says, not just to these 11, but to every one of us that are sitting here or listening online tonight who have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and claim to be his follower, Jesus says, this is your command, to do as I have done. And he closes in verse 17 that we looked at tonight. He says, if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now, perhaps we are guilty sometimes of knowing the things of God's Word, of knowing the commands of God, but it's not just enough to know them. There is not blessing in knowing them. Well, I guess on some level there is. But ultimately, true blessing comes not just from knowing what God calls us to, but doing what God calls us to. There's no blessing in knowing that we should serve others. There's no blessing in knowing that God has given us an opportunity or put somebody or something in our path, a way for us to serve, and we say no. There's no blessing in that. We may know it's what God calls us to, but Jesus says, you are blessed if you do these things. If you do these things. So the question that we must answer today, maybe every day, is are we serving the Lord? We know that Jesus calls us to serve. Are we seeking opportunities to serve? Sometimes those opportunities are right in front of us. And sometimes we know they're right in front of us. And sometimes we just say no. We know the things, but we don't do the things. And we don't receive the blessings of God that He may want to pour out on us because we know and don't do. So what Jesus says is you must know and you must do and you'll experience the blessing of God. And so maybe there are things that we know, and maybe today it's time for us to do. And maybe there are opportunities and maybe we don't see them. Sometimes we just kind of miss them. We're just, you know, we got our mind on things of the world and other stuff. And it's not that we're intentionally saying no to God. We just maybe don't realize an opportunity to serve. And maybe our prayer today needs to be, Lord Jesus, would you help me to see opportunities to serve like you? Would you open my eyes and my ears and my heart to people that are around me? Would you help me to see opportunities to serve? Maybe that's a good prayer for us every morning. God, give me an opportunity to serve you today. God, put somebody in my path that I can serve you today. And God will do that. I believe He hears those prayers, and I believe there's probably more opportunities to serve than we see. And when we pray, if we pray, and ask God for opportunities to serve, then we need to be ready. Because God's going to open our eyes and He's going to give us opportunities to serve, and then we have a choice to make. Are we going to be those who just know the Word of God? That's a good place to start, knowing the Word of God. But Jesus calls us to take it one step further. To not just know the Word of God, but to do the Word of God. And in that, there is great blessing. What a beautiful, beautiful passage. What a beautiful example we have in Jesus Christ tonight. Let's pray. God, we thank you for these good words. God, perhaps for some, this is the first time they've ever heard this passage. Maybe for others, we have heard it and read it and even preached it, dear Lord, more times than we could possibly count. But God, it is just as beautiful today as it was the day that it was penned. It was the moment that Jesus carried out this act of service. So God, I pray that we would follow this example, that we would find encouragement, dear Lord, that we would be those that would live our life like Jesus did, so that when our time to depart comes, we'll know that we have loved to the end, like Jesus did. God, that whatever tactics of the devil may come our way, that we would not be dismayed, dear Lord, but that we would trust in you, knowing that the devil's tactics will never stand. God, let us never think too highly of ourselves, dear Lord. Let us never seek to be those who are served, but those who seek to serve. And the most basic things to even the dirtiest things, dear Lord, Jesus has showed us what it means to serve. So God, I pray that we follow this example of humility tonight. I pray, God, that we would be those who are bathed, that we would not be like Judas, but that we would be those who, through Jesus Christ, God, our sins have been forgiven and we have been cleaned. God, maybe there's a little sin in our life today that doesn't need to be there. I pray that you wash us of that, that we would repent, that we would seek you, that we would ask forgiveness tonight. And I pray, dear Lord, that we would hear your word, that we would know your word, and more than anything, God, I pray that we would do your word. I pray that we would experience your blessing, dear Lord. I pray that you give us opportunities to serve. I pray that you help us to see those opportunities. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.